Ooh, he's looking around all the time. What do they call him?
Watchman?
Yes! You got it.
Pass. I don't know who the hell that is.
I don't know who the hell that is either. I don't know who the hell that is. Oh, I like him. He fights the vampires.
Blade.
Yes.
Everybody, and welcome to episode 255 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast for Thursday, November 5th, 2015. I am your host, Mark Huznes, and with me, as always, is no one in particular. If y'all know what's what, y'all know that this is an exciting week. Why? Because Half Price Book Store is having their, well, one of their yearly 20, 30, 40, 50% off sales. I did that because if you haven't been paying attention or if you don't shop there, if there's not one in your area, because these are not across the country, these stores, they have these week-long sales where they have 20% off coupons for 2 days, then 30 for 2 days, then 40 for 2 days, I believe, and then the almighty 50% off coupon on the old Sunday, which is just, I mean, who cares about the rest of the days? They used to kind of spread it out in a way that actually made me shop there more during these sales, which is they had it start with 40% off, then 20, 30, then end with 50, so that I would kind of be like, you know what? There might be something that would actually be there for 40% off that may not still be there when it hits 50% off. So I'll get it. And I won't worry about that extra 10% off. But now I'm just sort of like, well, who cares? I guess it's the same thing that if I go there a few days early, I might not get as big of a discount, but I'll get the item I want. But that's not really the case anymore. Or there's just the point of, you know what? I don't care. Don't care. That's one of the exciting things going on so far this week. Another thing is that I did get a new phone, and I did get an iPhone. I got a used iPhone 5, and I'm quite enjoying it. It's got a few dings here and there, and it didn't come with the earbuds, which I'm a bit disappointed in, because I did want to see what those were like, the new ones, because I've never used them, and I'm one of the few people who actually likes the older version of the Apple earbuds, not because I think the sound's particularly great, but for whatever reason, those are the ones that stay in my ears, not just one ear. They stay in both of my ears, and I don't know why it is. I think even similar shaped earbuds don't tend to fit as well as the Apple earbuds, but just for some reason, they stick. The ones that have like the jelly-esque little like cushions that you kind of like shove in your ears, those never work for me. I don't understand those either. So I've always kind of just, I've been a huge fan of the Apple earbuds, despite the fact that, one, they're not that great in terms of audio quality, and two, they used to be this kind of, hey, steal my shit. Look, I'm too stupid to even wear something different on my ears, so I clearly have an expensive device in my pocket. Would you please rob me? That's what they also used to signify, but I don't think that's the case anymore. All that said, got an iPhone 5. Got it pretty cheap because it was used and all this other stuff, and I'm enjoying it. It's nice to have something that just works, and I like the fact that, yeah, it may be a bit older, but it is still fairly snappy. It runs really smoothly, and I like that. It's nice because Android is, in most cases, ruined by whatever nonsense and garbage and bloatware the manufacturer puts on their phone and your service provider potentially puts on your phone. But with the Apple phone, the Apple iPhone, it just works. And yeah, it has Apple's crap, which there's way more of that than I remember there being. And I kind of wish I could get rid of some of that. I know there are rumors that they might let you get rid of some of the Apple native programs, but overall that doesn't get in the way. And like I think a lot of people, when I first get a new iOS device, I just create a folder, Apple crap, and I throw all the Apple apps in there because for the most part, they're all crap. The only ones I really use are probably, I mean, I'll jump into Game Center just because that's the thing. And then I like the clock app because when I'm, if somebody can recommend me a good clock app, I would be so thankful, because what I want is a actual clock app that has all the various clock features. I don't want an alarm clock. That's not what I'm looking for. And every time I try to look up just for a clock app, I get alarm clocks all over the place. And they're always, I don't even know if those have all the regular clock features or not. But I'm not going to go around buying a bunch of dollar apps in hopes that I find one. And also, this is a weird thing for me. I think I will 100% not buy an app, even if I hear it's really good, if I think the icon is garbage. If I think the icon is terrible, I'm not going to buy it. Because, I mean, I'm probably going to be looking at the icon more than actually using the app, just because that's how it works. Another thing I've come to realize is that while I do think 16 gigabytes is still absolute trash, more so for the 6S and 6S Plus because of the new camera that allows for 4K shooting and live photos and all that stuff, so you'll be using up more space with the camera alone, significantly more space. There is something nice about being so limited in terms of how much space you have, because it forces you to really look at what you're putting on your phone and only keeping the things you're actually going to use and not a bunch of garbage that is just like, well, I have room for this, so why not just keep it? When I had iPod Touches and iPads in the past, I would just fill them up with everything. I wouldn't delete anything. I would just have all these folders, and I'm just like thinking back to that, and I'm like, I had so many games on there and so many various apps for websites and stuff. I was like, but I rarely ever used them. And also, I find the mobile websites are typically, at least for me, better than the mobile apps. Like with Amazon, I didn't see a way to actually check anything other than the regular wish list in the app. And I'm someone who has like a dozen different wish lists because I break everything off into categories. I have my comics wish list. I have my figures wish list. I have my clothing wish list. I have all these things broken up because I don't want to shove them all into one category and just have everything lumped together. I want to have everything broken up into its own specific place. So I can do that with the mobile website, but I can't do that with the app as far as I could tell. The only thing that's still annoying about iOS is the fact that they do not offer you as many customizable options as, say, Android. Like the ability to change the notification sound for third-party apps. That's really annoying. You can check, oh, do you want to have sounds or not? Yes, I do. Can I change them? No, I can't. I was like trying to find that forever, and I couldn't find a damn thing. That was super annoying. But yeah, I've got an iPhone now, which is nice. It was a bit hectic for the day or so where I was transitioning from Android to iOS, and the period where I didn't have a phone, a working phone, and I couldn't contact anyone really, and it was just like, oh my god, this is terrible. What am I going to do? What phone should I get? Another bonus of getting an older phone, cheap cases. All the cases are super cheap. So I got a really nice one that was like $50 or so before, way back in the day. Got it for $10 at Best Buy. And it was funny because the second I walked into the Best Buy and I was looking at cases, one of the employees came running up to me really, really excited. And he wasn't excited because he was like, oh, I get to help a customer. No. What he came up to me and said was, how long did it take you to grow this? And then he was gesturing towards his mustache, because I've been trying to grow mine forever, and yours is so good. And I was like, sorry, I don't remember. I've had this for a while, and I keep it somewhat trimmed. I trim it somewhat and somewhat naturally. I trim it. I didn't tell him about the whole hairs go out when you're flossing, or you'll end up eating a few hairs when you're just eating food because it just curls in your mouth. I didn't tell him all that, but I told him that, and he was just like, oh man, you. I see everyone look at him. He you know fashion. I was like, oh, what? Because apparently to him it's like having a mustache and then a trimmed beard around it. That's fashion. I don't know. I don't know fashion at all. People can say I know fashion or I know something, but I don't know any of that. I think it's funny when people are like, you're a really good dresser and you do all this. I'm like, I wear t-shirts and jeans. That's what I do. I don't do anything else. If I wasn't wearing this, I'd wear suits if I could afford to and I was like nuts, but I wear t-shirts and jeans. That's it. It's not high fashion. I don't wear the product shirts or whatever. I can't even think of what the name of those is. I don't wear anything with like, oh, my favorite game on the front or this crap. Graphic tees. I don't wear graphic tees because I hate that. I don't feel the need to be like, hey, I like this. No, I don't. I can tell you about things I like. I don't need to shove them in your face. Plus, I just think they, for the most part, look fairly ugly. I like just plain, solid colors. Simple, simple, simple. That's what I like. And that translates to games. Like with the app icons, that also translates to mobile games. I really love simple design. I think it's beautiful. Simple is beautiful. And someone who really knows that is Zach Gage, who did Spell Tower. I think he did BitPilot. BitPilot's the first game I remember playing. And I think he's done a few other ones. But Spell Tower was a big one. And then recently he came out with a new card game, Sage Solitaire, which it reminds me a bit of, I think it was like Swipe the Deck, where you're creating poker hands, except there's no swiping, I don't think. I think you can only tap in the game. And you have three rows of two or three cards, I'm not sure. I can't remember. I think it's three. Three of three. So you have these cards on there, and there are specific poker hands that work. Some won't work. You can't do three of a kind, I don't think. I'm not sure about... I think you can do four of a kind. But what you're trying to do is clear these stacks. This is at least in the free mode, which comes with the game for free. And then there are other modes you can unlock with an in-app purchase, which I highly recommend doing because it's a quality game and, you know, send some money his way because he makes beautiful games that are fun. But you have your rows of cards and you're trying to create these matches. You can't have all the cards be in one row, though. They have to be in multiple rows. They can be in the same column, or, yeah, I always forget columns and rows. Vertical, they could be in the same vertical path, but not horizontal. I think that's right, but I even get confused with that word. Either way, it's fairly simple, and it's free to check out to play the regular mode, and there are a few modes that I haven't checked out yet because I haven't gotten around to playing it more than just a smidgen, but I really like that. And then I got back into Words with Friends, and I kind of already want to get the hell out of Words with Friends because I'm just remembering how it's not that it's bad. It's well done. It works. But the fact that you can't just throw up any word, you can't play an incorrect word, and then you can't get challenged on anything you play is annoying because that takes out all the risk and reward aspect of Scrabble. You know, just like, okay, you can just keep throwing crap out there. You don't even have to try and make words. You can just throw up every letter there and just keep trying until something goes through. If you're not even trying to, like, actually think about words at all, you can just be like, okay, I'm just going to put all these letters here, and I'm going to keep pressing submit until it actually goes through. And that sucks. That's annoying. And I know there's, like, the honor system of not playing that way, but the fact that it's there is just annoying. And also, just the ability to maybe kind of not cheat, but, you know, it's like, oh, this is kind of like this one word. I'll see if I can do it. I mean, I don't play that way, but knowing that someone might want to play that way and forcing me or forcing anyone to stay on their toes and pay attention to what the other person is playing in addition to what you're playing, that's a fun little element that is lost in this game. But I love word games, so I'll probably still keep it around. Word games are my absolute favorite. Word games and card games are my favorite. Inside Ninja! Shing! The Perfect Insider is a very interesting anime, and I had to do something with it that I've never done before. I didn't have to do this, I chose to do it because I do think it's a fairly interesting anime. And the thing I had to do was rewatch it from the beginning. And of course, being a currently running show, there aren't that many episodes out. The fourth one just came out not that long ago, I believe. And when watching the third episode, right around the time it came out, or maybe I kind of think I waited because of what led me to rewatching the whole thing, is that I realized while watching the third episode, probably about 5 minutes in, that I had no idea what the hell was going on. I was so confused, and I felt like while there is this mystery going on within the actual anime, and there are things we, the viewer, and the characters on the show don't know yet, I felt like I really didn't know way more than I should have known. I felt like because I tend to multitask when I watch anime, because most shows they don't require 100% of one's attention, I was doing that with this show as well, and I had to go back because The Perfect Insider is very much so a talky thinker type of anime. It is all about the mystery, and it is not at all about the visuals. It's all about the story and the writing. Not to say the visuals are bad, it just isn't a very visually stimulating show. It isn't full of a lot of bright, vibrant colors or very emotive, hyper-animated motions and stuff like that. It's very, very subtle. Even the writing is subtle. It is a very, very nuanced show. And I liked that about it. I thought, wow, this is something different. In a season that I think is filled with so many stereotypical shows and I don't want to say unoriginal, but uninspired shows. This is a very kind of by-the-books season for the most part, I find. And that's making this season kind of just feel like a drag. We're about halfway through, and so far, not that many shows have really, really grabbed me. And I'm feeling the pull of watching so many at the same time really weigh me down more so than in previous seasons. And I think part of it is because even if there were a lot of shows that I really actively disliked, that would be a much stronger emotion than just feeling kind of meh towards a whole bunch of shows. But The Perfect Insider was something that always kind of grabbed my attention just because it was so different and not like everything else. So I first thought maybe I'll just wait until the whole series has finished and I'll just watch it in a few lump sums. You know, I'll just marathon it because then I will have a much easier time remembering things that are happening and not feeling so lost. But I decided, no, I don't need to do that. I just need to not be doing other things while I'm watching this particular show because it requires my full attention. It requires me to pay attention to what all the characters are saying and pay attention to their little slight physical habits, like the fact that whenever Suhei, the main male protagonist, whenever he takes a puff of his cigarette, like a really long one, and just lets the ash sit there and doesn't do anything with that, that means he's figured something out, or he has an idea. He's thought of something, you know, stuff like that. These little tiny things that hopefully they won't continue to point out, and they're just because it's fairly early on in the season still, you know, that they will just let those things happen and leave it to the viewer to pay attention and notice when these little nuances and ticks and stuff happen to reveal things without just flat out telling us. Because I don't like that. And they even point out that in the show when Moe, the main female protagonist, she literally just says exactly what she's thinking or something. She does something and Suhei basically is like, you don't need to tell us what you just did or whatever, because it's just expository. And she's like, well, I always see it done in mystery novels or mystery shows, and I wanted to see what it was like. I was like, no, don't do that. So they even kind of point that out, this whole acting and then telling at the same time. It's like, we don't need to be reminded of that. I mean, you know, have some confidence in the viewer to actually be paying attention, even though I originally wasn't paying enough attention. All that said, I'm now caught up. I've seen the first four episodes, and I'm really enjoying it. It's, like I said, it's not a very visually stimulating show, so if you're somebody who watches anime more so for the visuals, then it's probably not going to be for you. But if you want something that has a really interesting story, and I've only seen a very small select few mystery-themed animes, and the ones I've seen always kind of put all their cards on the table right away, or they're not that mysterious. They're kind of really showing what's going on right at the very beginning, or they're handling it in a very, very standard way and following tropes, or just kind of doing something that has been done a million times before, or really, really hinting at things. But The Perfect Insider, for me at least, so far, I'm still wrapped up in this mystery. There are still things I don't know, and the characters don't know, and what I really love is the fact that I'm captured by this mystery because I have not yet figured it out myself. And that's something that I think is incredibly important when you're watching something that is a mystery. I don't want to be sitting here with the fourth episode knowing that there are still eight or so episodes left and having already figured it out, just kind of watching to wait for everyone on the show, on the anime, to actually figure it out. I don't want to just sit here and be like, well, I know exactly how everything's going to wrap up, and now I'm just going to sit here and wait to see it happen. That's not fun. That's not enjoyable. That's also terrible writing and just kind of delivery with a mystery. But that has been my experience with many, well, not many because I haven't watched that many, but the mystery-themed animes I've seen, that's kind of where they've all fell. But with The Perfect Insider, I'm still left wondering about certain things. It's very adult too, which I like, and there is this aspect of incest and kind of these very, very disturbing parts of it that aren't played like haha or cutesy. It's played like, this is disturbing, this is not normal, this is not right, and I like that about it too. I don't like incest, and I think it's disturbing and weird, and that's something that you kind of get used to with anime, this whole sister complex that is very common in your more romantic comedy-esque anime. And with this, it's very much so played in a more serious way and played in a very, this is not right. In the other sister complex-esque shows, it's more so, this isn't right, but who cares? Or they try to make it seem okay. It's like, oh, actually, we don't have the same father or with this or that. Or they're like, oh, you thought I was your sister this whole time, but I'm actually just your cousin. Still not that much better. But with The Perfect Insider, they handle that well. Everything is done very, very well so far. And I'm really, really enjoying the show. And I highly recommend it, especially in a season that's full of so many very, very standard, typical type shows. Nothing that stands out too much. I still highly recommend One Punch Man. I think that's fantastic. Mr. Osomatsu or Osomatsu Man, whatever that one is called. That show is one. That show may actually be my favorite of the season because it's the biggest surprise of the season for me. So I highly recommend that as well. One Punch Man is oddly only on Hulu, I believe, still. I don't think it's made it anywhere else, which is really weird, especially for that show, which I guess Hulu is a more widely used platform, more widely used service, but at the same time, I feel like people watching anime don't really watch anime on Hulu. They watch it on Funimation or Crunchyroll or probably some other places, but those are the two main ones. And then The Perfect Insider is available on Crunchyroll as well as Mr. Osomatsu. And then, yeah, trying to think of any other shows that really grabbed me this season. I can't. Everything else is kind of really, really... I'm sure I'm forgetting something. Beautiful Bones I do enjoy. I don't love it as much as these other shows. Comet Lucifer is just... I feel like I'm all up to date with Comet Lucifer and Concrete Revolutio. And I think where those two have differed now is that Comet Lucifer has its story in place and is going to just go about continuing down that path. And instead of it being just growing and growing and growing and just being absolutely crazy, and that being why I don't like it, I think the reason why I don't like it is because I don't think it's very good, and I don't like the characters in it, and nothing about it is that interesting to me anymore. Whereas with Concrete Revolutio, I don't understand what the hell is going on with that show. It just feels like they're just throwing all this random crap at you, and they're just giving you more and more information and trying to stimulate you to such a ridiculous degree and throwing all this shit at you without actually... I don't understand where this story in Concrete Revolutio is going. It feels like they're just trying to introduce so many different things and that it's going to be this long-running series, but it's not, as far as I know. It's a single season. And I do not see how there's going to be any kind of satisfying arc with where they're at currently, about halfway through, and the time they have left to... I don't know what's going on. And I don't think they're doing the whole time jumping around thing anymore. But they very well could be. I still don't know. It's a very, very herky-jerky, all-over-the-place show, and I don't really care for it. And that's disappointing because I was excited about it. It grabbed me in the first episode, but then it just kind of went nowhere. Currently in front of me, I have a copy of Love the Fox, which is the second volume in the, I don't know if you want to call it a series or whatever, but from Magnetic Press. It's the series from Frederick Brelmaud and Federico Bertolucci. Which are two names I'm probably pronouncing incredibly wrong, but you may remember I talked about the first volume not that long ago. It was Love the Tiger, which I adore. It was one of the few times I ever just saw a book and bought it right then and there because I love tigers, favorite animal, and I opened it up and it was just incredibly beautiful. So I've been dying for the Fox to come out in the States. They're already through volume 3, which I believe is The Lion, overseas in like Europe and whatnot. So hopefully that gets here relatively soon. But I've been waiting for The Fox to come out for a really long time, and it finally did. And I have to say, it's just more beautiful, beautiful, beautiful art. And this time, the tiger was more of a, let's watch this tiger try and try and try and get food and inevitably fail. This story is actually incredibly sweet. And the one thing I will say is that, unlike with the tiger, which did have this as well, but I find the fox is much more about the event that's happening in nature at this point in time than just the fox. It really follows a lot more different animals as opposed to the tiger, which really kind of did focus, not entirely, but was more focused on the tiger than the fox, which has a lot of bears and whales and other animals that get a lot of screen time, a lot of paper time. I will also say that the production of the book is like the first one. Very, very nice. I will read what the opening little bit of text says, because it is an 100%, not N. Why did I give it an extra N? It is 100% visual story. There's no dialogue, no narration, so it is purely visual, and it's so friggin' beautiful. In the animal kingdom, animals neither love nor hate each other. Love and hate are parts of a natural whole, a supreme balance many consider to be universal or even divine, an elemental love, a love that mankind could never experience. And it's just, it's an incredibly beautiful book. I mean, I can't, there's not much to say about it because it is purely visual and you need to see it. But I will say that, spoilers, so just skip ahead about a minute or so if you don't want to be spoiled on the story. What I was really surprised by was just how sweet the story is when all is said and done, because what is happening in this particular story is that a volcano erupts and we're watching all these various animals try to find safety from this erupting volcano. So near the end of the book, the fox finds a hole. And inside this hole, there is an adult rabbit and a few baby rabbits. And he sees this rabbit, and you're thinking, oh, God, he's gonna kill this family of rabbits. But he doesn't. What he does is he turns around and jumps out of the hole. He gets out of the hole as fast as he can, which I first thought was just like, oh, he's not eating this family because of everything else that's going on. That's sweet in its own right. But then, a few pages later, you find out that he has his own child. Or she, I don't know if it's a male or female fox, but this is a single parent fox. And he goes to get his or her child, their child, and to save them. And they, see, I keep, gender neutral. They successfully save the child, and it's just this incredibly sweet story. And I'm just, I'm in awe. Constantly in awe of the art that is created by, I forget which one is the artist, but I'm just in awe of the beauty of this book, and I can't wait for the next one. It's sad that it's so thin. I mean, it's about 70 pages or so. Great paper, great solid hardcover, but visually it is such an incredibly beautiful book that I wish I had a dozen more of a, I don't know, I wish I had dozens and dozens and dozens of volumes of Love the Whatever Animal. I wish there was a book for each and every single animal, because each animal deserves it. And this is a book I would also recommend for young children, to just show them the power of nature, the harsh beauty of nature. Yes, there's violence in it, but it's not any more violent than a Disney film. Not really. You look at The Lion King, you have the brother lion murdering his brother lion. But yeah. Love the Fox from Magnetic Press. Find it at your local comic shop. If you live in Chicago, definitely look for it. They probably don't have a copy in right now, but maybe they will. Go to G Mart Comics right off of the Blue Line Logan Square stop on Kedzie. It's right across the street. Go there and pick up a copy of Love the Fox. An incredibly beautiful book and one of my favorites of the year. Unquestionably, maybe my favorite. I think The Tiger came out this year too, which I think this wins over this. I think The Fox actually beats The Tiger, despite The Tiger being my favorite animal, just because this story made a surprising turn and is just this incredibly sweet parent-child story that gets me every single time. So I'm currently hugging my copy of The Fox. Love the Fox. I love it so much. I give you a big hug. Inside Ninja! Shing! Oh my God, that's the end of the show. I hope y'all enjoyed it and all the nonsense that came spewing out of my mouth. Once again, I am your host, Mark Huznes. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Periscope, Snapchat, Xbox Live, everywhere there's a place to have a name. I am PX Sausage. That is at PX Sausage on all those places other than PSN, which I am the Kush3. Hopefully I'll be able to change that soon. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com. And the other podcast I do, which will be coming out this Sunday, will be recording another episode, so get excited! They'll get more excited for Half Price Bookstore. Don't tell them I said that. Doesn't matter. They don't listen to the show. Pixelated Radio, which y'all can also find on Pixelated Sausage, of course. If you haven't already, with both shows, it would be greatly appreciated if you went to iTunes and rated, reviewed, and subscribed to each one, especially this one, because that really does help. While you're looking at the podcast, you should also check out a few other ones. If you're into games and just can't get enough of them, then you should also check out the Signed In Podcast at signedinpodcast.com. If you're into racing, check out the Sports Car Unleashed Podcast at scunleashed.com. And if you're into nonsense, go ahead and check out the Undercover Unitards Podcast at undercoverunitards.com. Okay, bye-bye.